Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com as we begin our study in Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, titled, Enemies of the Cross. We name names and play videos allowing these enemies of the cross to be seen and heard using their own words. This is done not only to warn of particular false teachers, but also to alert the Bible believer to the fact that there are many more like these, many enemies of the cross, too many to name. Therefore, we must be careful Bible students who are vigilant for the truth and willing to obey the Lord and mark those who cause division by teaching false doctrine and to separate from them. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And now we begin our study in Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, titled Enemies of the Cross. This is part 1 of 2.
Why, in time apostasy, you'll see everybody applauding.
A lot of them say it's like
becoming like the TV shows, applauding when people get in.
Do you ever see you see how awkward it is when you watch it like on TV though? Someone sings and it's like, yeah! Crickets. All right.
Well, people who applaud in church are enemies of the cross.
Not really. But that's how silly some people get with this thing you're going to hear this morning. We're going to try to stay focused and not get silly with it. Philippians chapter 3, beginning verse 18, is where we'll be. Verses 18, 19. I call it enemies of the cross because that's what God's Word is going to talk about this morning where we're reading. In the last study, we saw that following Paul was a commandment. Following Paul is following a preacher of the cross. Paul was a preacher of the cross. Those opposing Paul then would be enemies of the cross. It's that simple. Now this isn't people who didn't like Paul personally, but it would be those who opposed Paul's ministry. Those who opposed, some of you are looking at me because I'm buttoning up my clerical robe this morning. Do you see this new shirt? Any like that? What do you mean? What's wrong with it?
I mean, now that I look up close, it's something really that I would wear.
You're going to hurt my feelings, talk bad about my clerical robe.
I mean, I'm losing a little bit of weight, so I almost said I couldn't.
Yeah. Well, this is bigger than what I need. I ordered it online. You know how that goes. But I would rather it be big than snug and tight. Amen? Some of you are glad I don't show my curves. Amen? All right. Let's get into the text this morning. We're going to read two verses, verses 18 and 19. And I would ask that you read that with me. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Enemies of the cross. Let's open with prayer. Father, we thank you for this time in your word, with all this stuff going on. Just pray, Lord, that we can focus. Attentively read and study this, not only these passages, but comparing Scripture with Scripture, that you will help us. The Holy Spirit would be our guide and our teacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Now, I just want to point out it's about 10 after, so in 30 minutes, don't be screaming and yelling, I'm going too long. Because we're getting a late start this morning. But before getting into verse 18, I want to address a great question asked of me by several people this week, a couple of you here, a couple of people online, who asked me, How do you explain the commandment from Paul to follow me in light of what we read in 1 Corinthians? What do we read in 1 Corinthians? Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning of verse 11. And Paul is addressing a church that's filled with discord and division. And in verse 11, it says, "For it hath been declared unto you, unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." Now notice, that's not gossip. A lot of the fundamentalists will say, you should never talk about other people because that's gossip. That's not gossip. And here, Chloe, the people of the house of Chloe aren't gossiping. They're telling Paul the truth. The difference between gossip and what we're seeing here is, this is a true report. And it's being told not with the purpose of slandering or hurting somebody. It's being told with the purpose of finding a solution. And so verse 12, "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ." Verse 13, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul?" And the answer obviously is no, no, and no. But this isn't talking about the same thing that we are reading about in Philippians chapter 3. And the reality check on this is simply that this is not talking about following Paul in this context in 1 Corinthians 1, but aligning oneself with factions within a local church. And this wasn't about Paul's epistles in 1 Corinthians 1. It was about literally claiming to be almost like you were aligning yourself religiously worshiping Paul. And he throws in Christ. Well, obviously we follow Christ, don't we? So he's not saying that there was anything wrong with following Christ any more than following Paul, but that's not what's being spoken of here in this text. This is about people factioning. It's about divisions and discord. And it's not about following Paul's epistles, but actually it's kind of like having your team. Now we jokingly, most of us here are Buckeye fans, amen? And if some one of you comes in and one of you might be a Wolverine fan, we're not going to kick you out, but we are going to ride you and ride you and ride you. See? But that's all in fun. But we're not going to faction off, you know, and that sort of thing. That's what he's talking about here in 1 Corinthians. So what's the key here is context, context, context. And obviously, if elsewhere we're told to follow Paul, then that isn't contradicting this right here. So for anybody to say, well, I don't follow Paul, I follow Christ. Well, number one, right here it says that's wrong. You shouldn't be saying that. You shouldn't, I misphrased that. I am of Paul. And someone says, I'm not of Paul, I am of Christ. Well, no, the reason why that's wrong is because if you're of Christ, then you're also of Paul. If you're of Christ, all the epistles of Paul were given to us by Jesus. Amen. Jesus prophesied, when the Comforter comes, he will lead you into all truth. Guess where you find that truth? The epistles. Amen. And in Acts 9, Jesus showed up visibly to Paul and chose him. And then gave Paul the words to write in the epistles that we have in our Bible. That's the all truth that Jesus prophesied. So if you're going to follow Jesus, you have to follow Paul. Anyone who says, I don't follow Paul, I follow Jesus, that's a contradiction. You can't follow Jesus without following Paul. I hope I clarified that for you. But right here is 1 Corinthians 4:16. Same letter, written by the same author, three chapters later, and he says, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." So obviously in 1 Corinthians 1, if he was saying it's wrong to say I'm a follower of Paul, then he's just contradicting himself. But we know he didn't contradict himself. He's saying, don't faction and say you're of this or of that. Be of the Lord, be a member of the church, and follow Jesus by following Paul. Wherefore I beseech you, be you followers of me. Who is speaking?
Paul.
Say it with me.
Paul.
Who is speaking?
Paul.
There you go. So Corinth was dividing over personalities. The call to follow Paul in Philippians 3, which we studied last week, is a call to unity behind Paul's epistles. How many of you heard, this is a saying people usually don't think about, how many of you heard somebody say, we all need to be on the same page? Well, that's literally true. What if I started Philippians 3 and Martha decided she's going to read in Jonah 3, and Johnny over there decides Jeremiah 3 is his favorite, so he's going to go over there. And then Tracy, she goes into the Apocrypha. And what? Just kidding. That would have been a mess trying to read that together, wouldn't it? It's kind of what happens in most churches when one of them has a King James Bible, the other has an ESV, another has an NIV. They can't do this kind of reading unless they have a screen and everybody has to read what's up here. But if they read out of their Bible in their lap, it'd be chaos. So, to follow Paul is to follow who?
Jesus.
That's it. To follow Paul is to follow Jesus. Look over 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. One time I told people to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and someone went, there is no chapter 6 in Timothy. I said, I'm looking at it right here. Somehow his Bible didn't have chapter 6. They forgot to put that chapter in. He'd been reading his Bible thinking all that time it ended with chapter 5. I got Alexander Scorby on CD one time and the last chapter of James they forgot to put in there. You remember that? Last chapter of James. Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah, I had to get my Bible out and read it to myself. Yeah. I broke it down into like three sections. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning of verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, this is Paul now. People say, well, you can't follow Paul, you follow Jesus. Well, Paul says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, what's he mean by that? Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. Verse 4, what's it say about people like that? There are people out there. You better wake up if you don't realize there are people out there who would try to tell you it's wrong to follow Paul. There's also people, and I had one on Gab, the social media this week, named Matthew Perry, spelled P-E-R-R-I, come on there and tell me that Paul was a false teacher. Yeah, they're out there. I had them do it on Facebook. There are videos, you can YouTube it, where they try to teach that the epistles of Paul should never have been put in the Bible. Well, that guy, Matthew Perry, and all these people here, it says he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising. I want you to look at that word, but it says, but doting about questions and strifes of words, that is 90% of evangelical preaching this morning. They are going to stand up here and pick on words and go to their lexicons and their commentaries and say a better rendering would be this. I don't really like the reading in the King James. I prefer the message. That person is proud, knowing nothing. Most evangelical preachers today, people accuse me of this. They'll say, you think you're the only good preacher out there. I said, no, I know I'm not the only good one, but we are few. And I listen to them and listen to them and listen to them. I've listened to preachers by the dozens every year trying to find somebody who will just preach the book. Amen. They want to preach lexicons. They want to preach visions and dreams on the other side of the spectrum. Thank you, Martha. Verse 5, look what it says. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. There are preachers who think that the ministry is having a big crowd with big offerings, and so they think they're successful. But they're not preaching the truth, and when they stand before Jesus Christ, they're going to put out a big, huge bonfire with their works. I'd rather have a small church of people who believe the book than to start bringing in people by bootlicking people and telling them what they want to hear and not preaching things they don't want to hear and making everybody happy so that we can have a big crowd and get bigger offerings. No thank you. Look at verse 6. I didn't put that on there. I should. Read that with me. Verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. You'd better learn to be content, folks. This is the day of Noah. And if you start wanting big numbers and you want to be, you know, a part of a big church with a big ministry where we have programs for everything, including your dog. Amen. Well, you're going to be led into heresy. You're going to get caught up in a false church and you're going to end up flat on your face. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Never so content that you stop serving the Lord. We should continue to preach the gospel, teach the book, invite those who believe the Bible or Bible Believers Fellowship. If you know a Bible believer, come on down. You're the next contestant. But if you don't believe the Bible, you don't belong here. And I'm here to tell you that they'll either leave on their own or they'll force me to tell them to leave like I did this fellow this morning. You're not a Bible believer. You think you're going to start trouble here? Think again. You ain't starting trouble here. Yeah. Listen. I think most of you'd say, I hope most of you'd say, I'm friendly to you. And I try to be loving and patient. Some of you more than others require patience. But you cross a line, you're going to get it. That goes in my house. That goes in my church. And I don't mean, this is the Lord's church, but it's your church and my church. We have a responsibility in this church. And if you see something that you know is against the scripture, you should say something. And when somebody goes around, and that's happened, I'm thankful because we've had people come in here and try to start trouble. And I'm talking false doctrine more than anything. But let's say somebody came in here trying to sell Amway. You can take that home and not bring it back, and you're welcome. But if you're going to bring your, you know, this isn't a place of business. Some people go to church to network. Don't come here and do that. Don't want your networking. Now, if we have an electrician who gets through his training and can help people, and yes, I'm pointing right at Charlie, I won't hesitate to say, oh, you got electrical problems? Here's Charlie's number. I'm not going to do that now because he just burned your house down right now. But One of these days, Charlie's going to get my recommendation. If I know a plumber, as Tim Hawkins said, if I know a plumber that can make your plumbing do this instead of this, and he happens to be a part of our church family, I'm going to recommend him. If you need a nanny, I call her a nanny. If you need a nanny, I know somebody who, if she needs another child to watch, make a good one. No one's come to me and asked, but if they do, I'm going to recommend somebody. Charlie's better half. Yeah. So, that's the issue when it comes to churches and preachers is sound doctrine. It's not plumbing, it's not electricity, but it's about sound doctrine. And Paul's epistles are the words of Jesus Christ. And so, just remember this. Someone looks at you and says, I'm a red letter Christian. Listen, in the red letters, Jesus said, I will send the Comforter. And when he comes, I will lead you to all truth. If you're a red letter Christian, then you follow Paul. Amen. Because you got all these homo Christians, you know, the gay Christians and the, you know, the porn star Christians, you know, porn for Jesus and all those kind of people. That's out there. Don't. I mean, it's funny to think, but it is out there. And they love to. Well, you're into that legalism that Paul taught. That I'm a red letter. You ain't read those red letters lately. Matthew 23. You talk about legalism. By that definition, I mean, that's the definition they're using. I want to look at this. Acts 26. Verses 15 through 18. Now, I'm not Paul. I don't try to make people think I'm Paul, and I don't think I'm Paul. But I try to mimic Paul. I try to follow Paul. I try to live by his words and the example in God's word. Acts chapter 26, verse 15. Paul speaking. And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." That's Jesus speaking to Paul there. Verse 15, or 16. "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." This is Jesus fulfilling his own prophecy, appointing Paul, who will then be given the words of the epistles by the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." Read verse 18. "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." You see, I don't see in there... to have a large attendance, to increase the offering by at least 10% per quarter, to report the most baptisms in my region, to brag about how many souls I led to the Lord, etc. Not in there. That's not the job of a minister. That's a job of a braggart and a hireling. That's not a job of a minister. That's a hireling is someone who he's reporting back to the boss. Just like McDonald's, we cooked so many burgers, we sold so many shakes, we've seen an increase in our clientele and blah, 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 you know, and that's how they're running the churches. That's not how God told Paul to do it, and that's now I'm not going to do it because I'm going to do it the way Paul did it. Amen. Anyone not following Paul is not following. Say that. Anyone not following Paul is not following Jesus. Amen. So then that takes us back to Philippians 3 and verse 18. Keep that in mind. Anyone not following Paul is not following Jesus. And that's why he says in verse 18, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." And that, my friends, is true. I'm just telling you the truth. It's true of the mass majority of preachers alive today.
Yeah.
It's just sadly the truth. Yeah. Every preacher that's getting up there today preaching Acts 2:38 and that you're saved by baptism or speaking in tongues, or you're saved by belonging to the Roman church and following the sacraments, or whatever.
Yeah.
They're enemies of the cross. Paul preached the shed blood and finished work of Jesus on his cross as the only means of salvation. You are only saved if you're saved. You are only saved because of what Jesus did.
Amen.
Not anything you have done. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I want to look at a couple things. And I want to warn you. I might upset some people this morning. Maybe if not here, online, whatever. But I name names. And sometimes I just show you the person, let you see it for yourself.
Amen.
It's been a while since I've done this, but we're going to do this morning. Those who deny the blood are the enemies of the cross.
Yeah, we're not saved by His bleeding, because it wouldn't have done any good if He just bled. This was a big controversy years ago. Some people who were enemies of me decided to fabricate all kinds of strange things, and we got kicked off 55 radio stations, and all because they said I denied the blood of Christ. Well, listen. If Jesus had just bled, nobody would be saved. The wages of sin is not bleeding. The wages of sin is death. And people must understand that it's not the bleeding of Jesus and it's not the blood of Jesus. To speak of the blood of the cross, the blood of the cross, is to simply speak of the efficacious, substitutionary, sacrificial death of Christ. Do I think He had to actually die, actually bleed? No, not to save us, but to fulfill the Old Testament picture. Somebody suggested that I might have thought He could be bludgeoned to death. Well, I suppose if God had decided that's the way He would die, it would be fine.
That's pure ignorance. The reason Jesus had to bleed and die wasn't just because God decided I don't want Him bludgeoned. It was because the life is in the blood.
Amen.
And there is no remission without the blood.
Amen.
I mean, it was a requirement legally. And so, as John MacArthur preaches this, I mean, he's got other problems. Uses the ESV. He's a Calvinist.
Yep.
He teaches people that having the mark of the beast, you can still be saved. He denies the literal sacrifices in the millennial temple, even though Ezekiel describes them in detail that are going to happen in the millennium. And so on and so on. He's not a Baptist. Here's...
I'm sorry. The blood of Jesus Christ has to be put on for Ezekiel.
Yeah, that's another thing he mocks and makes fun of. He says there's not literally a mercy seat in heaven. And so we could go, we'll do a message on the blood here soon. I'm purposely saving it. But I want to show you, and I don't know why I updated that. It should say Colossians 1:14 on both sides of your screen there. And I'm going to fix that real quick so we can see that. But this is Colossians 1:14. And you look there, you see on the left side is the King James Bible. And there we go.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.